I'd like to thank this particular Paul Casey for having us here tonight. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
For having us here tonight and for the platform and the support that he gives to the UCC Creative Writing Programme every year. For the last 4 or 5 years, I suppose, we spend most of our time fighting and arguing in a classroom for the most part. I'm impressed how well behaved you all are tonight. But we spend most of our time in a classroom or in solitude doing our work, so it's wonderful to have the opportunity to read in front of actual audience here. So thank you so much, Paul, for everything that you do. And I'm delighted to introduce 7 of our creative writing poetry, I just want to call it poets, actually, not students, our creative writing poets working on their MA in creative writing, hailing from all over Ireland, Northern Ireland, and the United States. We have 7 people tonight, so I'm going to keep the introductions really short. We're going to start with Alison O'Driscoll, who this week just had one of her poems featured on headstuff.org, is it? So you can see links to find that poem. I think you're reading that tonight as well on the Facebook page. So just a little bit about Ali, and we have 2 Allies and a Sally. just to confuse things. So Alison Driscoll has completed a BA in English in UCC, during which time she sat as editor extraordinaire of the Quarryman and chairperson of the English Society. Ali is a Cork native and began writing poetry at 16 when she took part in the unfinished book project, which I believe Paul still coordinates. Let's give it up for Ali.
So this one is called Green. Green is abandonment, the overgrown, the unattended. The ivy asphyxiating pebble-dashed walls. Green men moonwalking at night, green of isolation. The green of bilateral fields waving us home, our gemstone analgesiac. The unbiased green of maternity wards and the present tense. Malignant weeds, the green of fresh nodes, the margins of the seasons, nature's etchings and doorframes. The green of greenhouses, sweating incubated cabbages. Green of poesy, green of inspiration and poesy. The green of the real life, the rhizopus in the bread bin, surging bile in the peritoneum, tidal waves invisible. The alopecia of trees sighing in change. Green is the central line of our world body electric. The green of amitriptyline, healing is just outside. Doctor leaves the age-old cure, the green of the first aid kit, the tea and the tree at my back door. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
This one is called The Fold. My darling, I didn't know it was when you rattled off a list you could expand. Of all the things we get wrong, that we were damned. I think about this crumbling quite often, in a bed with one half now unwrinkled, or at the iron, when its holes etch my shirts because I forced my hand. I wonder what armoury it takes to withstand a blow to the once sewn together heart. What enchantment protects lovers who can't be still hand in hand after years? How do we avoid the threat of a wobble when we change our address or voicemail to house us too? When did we beguile each other that love was under our remit? When was it you knew that you were safer outside our nest? And this one is called Oisín and Me, after Evan Boland. The only legend I have ever loved is about a couple and eternal youth and wanting what you can't have, like all good women do. She snatched him back to Tir na n-Og, she wanted him only for her own, and he went without a backward glance, swallowed up in her golden hair. I wonder if I am Oisín or am I Niamh? Do I sweep him or am I swept to a territory not our own, where time halts because we gain no more? 3 years feels so much like 300, no wonder he wanted to come back, but I know why she wanted to go away, and believe me, it's not an easy thing to say. If I had a white horse and something to miss, laughter, birdsong, a taste of his lips, I would gallop back in a heartbeat for this.
Thank you, Ali. The next Ali, Ali Rose, Ali Bugrinsic, was born in the small town of Warren, Ohio, in the USA. She holds a bachelor's degree in cinema from Denison University in Granville, where she has been published in the university's literary magazine Exile 2016 and 2017. I'm delighted to have her here.
I'm going to read two poems, and the first one is about a trip I took to Utah to visit a friend, and we crashed a car. It's called Bear Lake. Bear Lake, the time of day when the sun swallows the sky. We are in a bed of bleeding sagebrush, its pungent breath mingling with the engine smoke, and my thick, syrupy laughter. When we speak about this later, you will wonder if you dreamed that laughter. Its enigmatic trail beats against the desert heat and our crippled Subaru screaming in the ditch. You'd said you wanted to learn how to drive. I taught you how to crash. Before that, I woke up in a pool of long green blades. The silted mountains watched over me from beyond the hickory fence line. Your mother was in the kitchen spinning pasta on a machine like a loom, through and through again until the noodles were coarse. Jill sat upstairs reading in the sunroom, where the sponged golden flowers crawled up the walls and grew into marvelous truths and lies. And you? You were asleep in the cool of your room, taking the time to forget. This would not last. Bear Lake, the pink time of day. Jill stands at the edge of the water, ankle deep in reflection. The lake has swallowed the trees, except one desperate young pine, whose topmost boughs stretch from the water, persisting. You and I are swimming in a forest, though this does little to quench your fear of open water, and I daftly float into brush and burr, enjoying the utterly weightless sensation and the way your eyes focus on the trees when your feet leave the sand. We left the car in the ditch to think about what we'd done. After that, we sat together under a mist in an evening cafe in a town you called home, and confessed our pasts in ungracious detail over half-empty plates and a mosaic of glass bottles. Jill listened to what we called our wisdom. Isn't wisdom born of failure? And oh, how we dreamt of love like a cloud, intangible but so visible and so able to block out the sun itself. Do not make our mistakes, we said. Believe me, I should know. Bear Lake, the time of day when the sky swallows the sun. We lie zigzagged in a tent which barely fits three, peering at the puzzle of stars through the mesh. When the car was pulled from the ditch, I had to drive it backwards, tangoing with the sage and rocks and the swirl of the tow truck in the mirror. You spoke a prayer I never heard, in a language I don't know. All prayers have consequences. And Jill cheered when the tires met the road again, no longer weightless, no longer floating in the sand. In the tent, I listened to you breathing. We left Bear Lake. I never left Bear Lake behind. Later, you and I would meet again in a canyon of glass and steel, a city 2,000 miles away from the echoes of Bear Lake. We'd sit in a park like a square, where a street poet with a hand-rolled cigarette and a typewriter would tap us out a poem about the place we left behind. Walls as tall as the small of your back, he'd write. But no, they were taller, and they could swallow you whole if you let them. And this one is shorter, I promise, and it's about the town I went to undergraduate college in. Granville, Ohio. I asked you the week after we moved here if it would ever look so new and beautiful again. No, was your simple reply, and I wanted you to be lying, but I knew it was the truth. 4 years separates us from that day. The tree in the courtyard has been gone for two, and my father has been dead for one. We have since learned to laugh at these absurdities. We never attended any of the funerals, but we can list the names like periodic elements, those most basic substances into which they dissolved. Sometimes we count ourselves among the dead. And yet we stand in the first snow eating ice cream. You tutor chemistry and I swap lenses on cameras to open the aperture further and shed some light on stories that only make sense in the dark. We add to our list the broken people, especially the ones who pick at our brains, or we find asleep on our couch in the afternoon. They are alive, but they don't always believe it. Like the October vegetables beneath the silk poinsettias and empty bottles, our time has all but expired. And we rot from the inside out, you say, or we bloom like the flowers of May. Thank you.
Jasmine Throckmorton studied poetry at the University of Chicago and taught literature for a year in her hometown of Fort Collins, Colorado, before moving to Cork, where she has a Fulbright fellowship.
I don't like introducing poems, but I am going to say one thing about the first poem that I'm going to read, which is called Hound's Tree. And Hound's Tree is a wine, and on the label is a very scraggly looking tree. So Hound's Tree. At dinner, I wonder if I'm a fox chased up that tree, while he watches at his ease, sipping Cabernet. Or am I the hound clawing it down in a frenzy? It's been a year since we've spoken, even fitfully, but here we are sharing wine as though in our heyday, when I was that vixen waiting in a tree, and he was on the hunt, smiling slyly at me. The branches on the label couldn't bear my weight if I were a hound scratching it down in a frenzy. There's something spell-like about old memories. With a glass half full, they force me to pray, oh Lord, I become a red fox nailed to that tree when he asks if he could stay the night so politely. Every muscle trembles in me to obey. I would drown a hound for him, barking a frenzy. But what can I call this with any sincerity when he will leave without a word on the stairway? And I am left to the foxes hiding in their trees and the mad, faithful dogs barking a frenzy. Quandary Peak, for my friend Nate. The path above me is all switchbacks, zigzagging in and out of view, and I'm still in the valley, in shadow of a pre-dawn bloom. Meadowlarks warble and pines, sketched against a bleached sky, guard the increasing gradient. Intuit the summit, you would have said. Into it, a mantra for me, for each solitary footfall. Some it. Daylight accompanies my break above tree line. I skim my hand over silvered flocks and tundra, lungs now straining for air too thin to inhale. Clarity is everywhere but inside, crisp enough to bite. Rivulets of water look like the wrinkles of your cerebellum, but too clean to capture the aftermath of that dim growth on the scan. With a quick scramble up sliding rock, I grasp at quartz crushed but still sharp enough to cut myself on. Treat this like meditation, I remind my flagging self. But I can no longer hear your voice in my plea for order. Intuit the summit. Pyrite lights in the cairn ahead. Could the climb hollow out and hollow in concert? Did life happen for a reason, or are we only a collection of chaos? I wheeze at a false crest and grant myself a rest every 500 steps. I count them, bent knees aching. Fourteeners aren't for the faint of heart, and inch by agonizing inch, although I stare at dust on my boots, so the view doesn't sink in until all at once, exposed, I am the lone creature here. The plain, a rolling stretch of inferior peaks, previously invisible, slides across my peripheral, a scrap of infinity, hinted at an horizon I was almost blind to. And last but not least, palmistry, which is for my father. I thought of him climbing down the well today, his boots wedged against its sides as he digs deeper, clearing tree roots. His palms are slick as he grasps the shovel's rough handle, striking rocks until murky water pools up. A floodlight is angled overhead. My father, who takes an aspirin every morning and drinks a cold beer every night, will never retire because horses sleep standing and his daughters have ambitions. Those palms are wide and calloused and cracked. His left index doesn't bend right ever since he slipped, pocket knife clicked open and severed the tendon. Peering down, as if over the well's lip, I inspect my hands and realize how strange they must look in his. Soft, small, pale, disappearing in his grip. Thank you.
Thank you, Jasmine. And next we have Breda Joyce. Breda grew up in Headford, County Galway, and now lives in Clonmel. Breda's poems have been elected for publication in the 2017 edition of the Galway Review and were shortlisted for the 2016 Kilkenny Broadsheet. Her work has also been highly commended in Poetry Ireland's Poetry Project Award in 2013. So thanks, Breda. Thanks.
Sorry, good evening, everyone. Just might need to give a little bit of background just to the first poem. A few years ago I visited the Jewish Museum in Berlin, and there they have a section called The Emptiness of Memory Space, and the visitors invited to walk on some of the 10,000 steel discs that were the eyes and the mouths is gouged out, I suppose, to represent the kind of tortured faces of those who met their deaths in the gas chambers. So this poem was inspired by that time there, and I called it Mute. In the Jewish Museum in Berlin, we walk on the faces of the dead. The soles of our shoes make the sound of rail cars, the clatter of carriages trundling over steel. Thousands of empty eyes stare back at us, open-mouthed. They protest soundlessly, dismembered, flattened discs beneath our feet. And then I see it among all the others, a baby's mouth unopened, no cry uttered, while her mother's eyes close against the horror about to befall them. I bend and lift both ice-cold discs and feel their frozen stories seep through my fingers. My warm breath stains steel and cold enters me. I lay them gently down, these two forgotten faces, side by side, unseeing mother, muted child. Thank you. I'll put on my glasses in case I can't see this. This one is self-explanatory, I suppose, the difficulty of writing poems. It's called Planting Poems. In the polytunnel, I dug deep, uprooted weeds, spliced winter ground until it was loose enough to receive new seed. A poem could take in here, I thought. I watered well my tiny patch and left it hibernate for half a year. The packet promised a good show, but it doesn't work that way, of course. Perhaps I didn't plant them in the right place or deep enough, cared too much that they would grow. I may have left them too exposed, transplanted too soon. Outdoors, between the toes of trees, I lay down bulbs of hyacinth and daffodils. A bit like sonnets, they are more solid and would rhyme with time. Roots already had unfurled, but frost came early and stunted the first 14. Sweet peas I planted and staked them well. They creep along when I'm not watching. Fragile fingers like twisted tentacles weave their way towards new connections in unexpected places. But had I allowed them enough space, enough room? I scattered wildflower seed in waste ground, left them be taken by the breeze, enjoyed the ease. Late spring, I find there a tableau of poppies, cornflowers and fairy flax, violets and celandine, orchids and meadow sweet, a poem fallen at my feet. And this last poem is dedicated to the Magdalene women. I was very moved when they went for compensation there a few years ago, and included in this are the mothers of the Tuam babies as well. And Tuam is a place not very far away from where I come from. So it's dedicated to all of them. Dirty Linen is the name of the poem for the Magdalene women. In the laundry room, you unspooled your stories to the others, scrubbing at stains that held you there. Admitted that you had committed the unspoken, the unforgivable. Under holy orders in dim light, you sewed vestments and mended more for priestly men who saved you from ruin. Blue ribbons for children of Mary, red banners for Corpus Christi beneath the holy nun's dictate. Heat from the glass roof made you feel faint, but you dared not leave your station till the gong said so. They found you in the room when the van men called. Forced you to kneel in shame, they snipped your golden hair. When the day of your confinement came, they gave you nothing to ease the pain, told you to offer it up, you had only yourself to blame. You held him when your milk came in, before they snatched away your sin. They buried him outside the rails. Dirt still stains their fingernails. Thank you.
Thank you, Greta. Next we have Sally Gaswinski. Yes, right on my screen, it's such a difficult last name. Sally was born and raised on her family's dairy farm in Massachusetts. She taught middle school alternative education for 6 years before pursuing creative writing. She has an MEd, an MA in literature, and an MFA in fiction writing. She was named one of Glimmertrain's top 25 new writers and won the Breadloaf School of English's prize for best fiction.
So I have two poems, and the first two are part of a longer sequence, and they're just numbered for titles. I understand history. A father's is pieced together like swan fossils found in the last country. And oh, my mother can swell and sing. The last words will catch, and soon you're her daughter too. Another 33 years will pass, and these stories will be thrown up again, down your gullet. Don't worry, we all have your very best interest at heart. Your father's rape might have meant the end, or this is the very day when you give birth. Two. An art gallery lunch should do the trick, the national kind. Crowds can convince you that all is well in the uterus. I've reached a point. Great whites are now found off the coast of my home, the warm water kind. How can I explain to this wrinkled, flowery woman that temperatures are rising, and the child she's with, I might very well eat? Last one. Ballet breaths. When I was in ballet class, all of us could breathe a little easier. Our young lungs sucked in the clean. On river pebble toes, we could stand. The floor was forest firm. Twirling across the museum room, our tutus mushrooming. It was cooler, and we could do anything. What are our babies breathing in? They can't stand when viruses leap in the permafrost. They can't rise when the canopy is crashing on top of them. I don't mind the dance. It's the routine that makes me sick. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. So next we have John. John Rogers hails from Newry. After many years spent digging for gold on the streets of London, he ran away from home to write, God help the Brit.
Hiya. Where I live in Cork, I live right above the river, and I see a funeral directors, and a lot of people show up there for funerals. So any reference to funeral directors or river in this poem is completely coincidental. It's called O'Brien and Sons, North Key Court. They trickle like a Sunday, iron for 12 mass, shuffled Monday steps, backs held fast to O'Brien and Sons. Least they might greet them before their time's done. Gazing at the lee, her dead soul full and deep, as shanton bells ding dong and shine, hello in the river and cod in the tyne. They take them out, one by one, John, Joe and Mick, and pocketed hands with nowhere to go. Him in shouldered high steps, polished even and slow. Ach, now a fine man like Patrick's so full of the crack, sure he loved that old dog. Seemed as near down, but I never knew that. Now the Angelus bells beat out the time, seem to dust you will burn, or you will all rot in the ground. As the leaf flows indifferent to the wide waiting sea, there's Brian Oak watching them pray to their imaginary friend, a horizon aware, seeing would he make it snow, keep the bells chiming and hold off that day. But Brian Oak knows better, for he's always dressed in black. The lee's not for slowing, and yours are all coming back. This one isn't quite as cheery. It's a big influence on my whole life has been a Canadian guy called Leonard Cohen. So you'll hear that I'll explain it because I've taken a lot of his titles. So the summies will be old enough to know the references, but I think all of you as workers of the word will appreciate that sometimes love is instantaneous and death is no respecter of love. It's called Green Shoes. As for Linda, her sweet perfume washed my willing face as they stepped into my favourite song, as the black fedorid poet sang, "So long, Marianne." Green and tidy buckled, round toed and calm, against the canvas of elegant black, I knew you were my Suzanne. They came along to the Albert Hall, they sat down next to me. The room filled up with angels, they heard that my body was free. And they shed a tear to hallelujah. Her soft clipped tones replied, "Please God, my Lord, let it be with you in hallelujah. You now reside." We walked in the silvery moonlight, green shoes, brown wine, brown eyes, red wine, together hand in hand to Ireland closing time. We knew the reason for dancing was always for the dance. The reasons for the words we sing, for the rhythm and romance. I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel, in the steps of poets and poetry. Sugar donuts, broken showers, swanky New York coffee. We danced until the end of love. I held your soft hands till then. Your eyes on me that one last time, saying we shall meet again. The wise old man and she, so cruelly both now gone. I could not let you go as well. The last of the stranger's song. Left and left, and right and right, right. With you I waltzed in fake and dance. As I stayed in my secret life, amidst the crushing avalanche.
Thanks so much, John. Last but not least, we have Nora Kirkham, who is a writer and poet from Maine. Her work is influenced by medieval art and monasticism, as well as her extensive travels and adventures around the world. Nora holds a bachelor's degree in history and English from Gordon College. She was raised on four continents, and she's fascinated by, and her work is very much informed by, the relationship between landscape and memory. So, Nora.
Thank you. This first poem is called My Father and the Fox. When the teepee collapsed, a chickadee burrowed through its birch skeleton. The campfire stumps soaked the pine dew. The woods were still the woods. But I remember when my father disappeared among the trees to build it, tying the branches neatly together, clearing away tree veins and spider curtains from the ground, and covering them in a skirt of fresh canvas. When it was standing, upright as a totem, he dipped a brush into red paint and did not look up until the fox had opened its mouth to the sunlight. I saw shocks of paint pressed on my father's thumbs, burnt umber on his arms as he hummed, smoothing strokes into a fox snout. Then their eyes met. Now the fox tames dreams from a frame hung on a cabin wall beside dry mosquito wings. My father guards all he sees. He outran years of rising snow, and the teepee fades to rotting bark. A fleck of light falls on a buried strip of canvas. On country roads, my father is always breaking for foxes in the dark. This next one is called There Are Plenty of Fish in the Sea. At the gap on Old South Head Road, I watched foam explode on ocean stone in a blue line soaking the sky. The sea is dark and crowded. My sister will marry tomorrow. Well, last year my hands dipped in waves and came out white and wrinkled. The fish's eyes were wild and lovely. I tossed him back and sped away. Will I steer towards the memory of a silver fin? It dives further from understanding. We all swim in a tenuous balance. We are all waiting on the tides.
Thank you. thank you so much. Will you join me in giving all of our writers tonight a big round of applause? Thank you all so much, my God, there's so many questions. Thank you so, so much for coming. And again, thank you to Paul for hosting us here tonight. Hope to see you all again next year. And thank you for to Ciarán for allowing me to sue MC tonight.